Show, Shapeshifters.
Shapeshifters this evening, welcome to The Money Show. We're going to be talking about a startup, and it's kind of, so there are so many great South African stories of startups, people doing amazing and interesting things. David Torr is the co-founder of Ucook, and the question that you're not going to be expecting, so this is the one I'm going to ask you, David Torr. What do you make of the Uber chief executive, Travis Kalanick, stepping down?
Hi, Bruce. That's an interesting question.
It's called a left of field. The reason I ask you is because I can't help but think, looking at the business and the way you've set it up, the trailblazing nature of people like Travis Kalanick make what you do possible. So you've got to have some kind of affinity. You don't have to like him, but you must look at his business and go, that's amazing. Let's do a bit of that. Let's Uber our business a bit.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, just from a space leveraging perspective and, you know, looking at kind of what Uber's done within the, you know, I suppose the startup industry to date is exceptionally impressive. Am I surprised by, you know, his kind of step down? Not hugely so. I think, look, based on what's kind of going on, you know, globally with regards to Uber as a platform, I just think that there could have been kind of greater consideration, you know, taken into account, you know, the...
You're being all politically correct and stuff, David. Tell me how you feel.
How I feel?
No, again, here's a guy who starts up a business who's been booted out of the chief executive job. He's still on the board. It's pretty sad, but he had it coming, frankly. He had it coming. Now, listen, take me through the business case for Ucook.
Ucook, sure.
Now you're comfortable.
So Ucook, I suppose, is a model that's been adopted from an industry that's, you know, starting to boom overseas. I don't know if you... So there's been, you know, recent success stories with kind of Blue Apron that's just gone IPO. It's seen a really, really nice kind of value climb recently in the States. It's an industry that, you know, for some time now, I think, you know, we're only really, really starting to see what it's able to do, you know, on the international circuit. But, you know, my reason for starting it was a hell of a lot more personal, really. I mean, I experienced the benefits of it.
Before we talk about why you started it,
yes.
Let's talk about what it does, because it's a fiendishly clever business model. By the way, Shapeshift is brought to you by FNB Business. It's more than just business to you. That's why they help. Ucook, essentially, if I need 3 grams of sugar, 2 grams of salt, 1 kilogram of flour and some raisins and some, what do you add, milk, yes, to make some scones, you'll deliver all the perfect proportions to me with a recipe and instructions on what to do with the ingredients.
Exactly that, yeah. So it's essentially what we deliver is you select, you know, meals from kind of the 9 meals showcased on the site each week. You as a consumer can pick and choose between categories, choose the meals that kind of suit your taste preferences best, and then what we do is deliver to you all the ingredients that you need to cook those meals with recipe cards that guide you through that prospective cooking process. The big benefits there obviously being, you know, time-saving. One, you no longer have a meal plan and, you know, schlep off to the shops, and you are delivered the exact right proportions of ingredients. I do think that's also, you know, quite valid in our case, specifically speaking, because we're the only dinner kit model, well, our, you know, South African competitors have kind of caught on, and now they're doing it as well, that is catering to bachelors. You know, as a bachelor, you know, which I was myself for a long, long time, buying 4 chicken breasts, buying a whole, you know, pot of spice, buying a big bag of lettuce, you know, these things very, very often end up kind of decaying in the fridge.
But there's nothing more frustrating than you wanting to prepare something and you know you've got nutmeg. It's in there somewhere. it's in the very back of, yes, the spice drawer or the spice cupboard. And when you eventually find the nutmeg, you need a chisel to get it out of the bottle because you bought it for the last recipe you used it for 5 or 10 years ago. It's now solidified because some moisture got into the bottle and there isn't much nutty or megness left in the nutmeg anymore. I mean, it's, you know, then you end up going to the shops for that one ingredient, or you just toss the whole idea and order a takeaway.
Exactly. So I like to think of Ucook as a recipe book that kind of, you know, magically materializes the ingredients. Because I think, you know, specifically in this country, there's a huge amount of, you know, kind of cooking aspiration. You know, if you look at the likes of it, you know, the Tim Noakes book, which was, you know, I think actually the greatest selling book to date in this country. And, you know, we're big fans of your food media. The real schlep is actually kind of going to the store, and specifically if you're looking for abstract ingredients like a Ras Al Hanout or some kind of, you know, strange Asian pear chili paste, we make that whole process quite simple. And there's actually been some very interesting progresses in our business, specifically speaking, that I actually speak to, you know, the kind of global digital trend. Because I don't know if you've kind of seen, but we've actually shifted meal categories over the last week. We've introduced new meal categories that I actually think are a little bit of a global revolution when it comes to the dinner kit model, because they are moving away from kind of dietary preference, and we're actually constructing food categories that are based and orientated around a select set of USPs that we think really synergize with people's lifestyles.
You've got to talk English. Basically, we're saying you've got lots of variety. So you've got steak chimichurri, for example. You've got a spinach leaf burrito. You've got beetroot falafel. You've got Middle Eastern influences. You've got Asian influences. A Vietnamese chicken recipe this week. And then some Italian in there too. There's pizza. There's gnocchi. What you're saying is you bring the world into people's homes.
Well that and the actual categories themselves. For instance, we've got an easy peasy category, which is literally a category that's been created for people that are actually looking for cooking convenience. Over the duration of UCook, we realized that some people, you know, they really love the concept. They try it out for a few weeks, and you know, this is actually, you know, what's kind of been seen internationally. But then they get over it. You know, it's something that is very novel, very interesting for some time, but they don't actually necessarily possess the time to spend an hour to 2 hours in the kitchen every day. You know, so we created a category that is specifically orientated around people that would like to cook but don't necessarily have the time to do so. So all of those meals that you're seeing there under that easy peasy category are that there's large amounts of pre-prepped ingredients. You know, we're incorporating some sauce components, so you still get the kind of reward of preparing something, but we're mitigating a lot of the processes that not everyone's keen on.
And there's so much wastage, unfortunately, that goes into the food preparation process, especially if you're not disciplined to use up the scraps and you don't reuse the ingredients and things like that, and you're not very good at repurposing ingredients. So if you're getting the proportions exactly delivered, I mean, can you guarantee that you save money over time in terms of this?
So I think that's a very, very interesting question. And I think it's one that kind of has to be framed in a particular context. So if we... Are there cheaper alternatives, than UCook? Even if you factor in the kind of wastage factor, I would have to say they most certainly are. But if you're looking at the kind of produce that's being delivered to you, could you find, would you be saving money if you're looking for organic vegetables, grass-fed beef, you're interested in kind of, social upliftment projects, and you want to be buying product from, producers that really kind of care about the land, they're ethical, they're sustainable. If you frame the purchase decision in that context, I think it's an exceptional, exceptionally well-priced product.
And, I mean, what's the average cost of a meal? What's the sort of range that you target these meals in?
So we work on a kind of strict economies of scale basis. We're able to obviously, deliver the family meals, come in quite cheaply. We can deliver a family meal for up to kind of like 60, 65 rand. Per head. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the bachelors just because the logistics costs are, just ramp up, pricing for us there, they're sitting on about 100, so they are quite pricey.
But you order a pizza, you're going to be paying $100. I mean, it's and that's the tragedy of inflation. I mean, food inflation has been brutal. Yes. Have you sorted out the delivery mechanism? Because this is particularly tricky for you. You've got to be convenient, not only in terms of what you're providing, but how you're providing it as well, and ensuring that the people who are ordering from you aren't sitting at home until 9 o'clock at night waiting for the ingredients of their supper to arrive.
So, Bruce, that's a great question. We obviously have created a kind of scheduled delivery system, and we've been working very, very closely with our couriers to try and get that as accurate as possible. Currently, we've got two order periods. So, delivery periods. You can either receive your product in the morning from about 9 till 1, and then there's an afternoon delivery slot. That said, we are realizing, because there's still a lot of frustration, we're trying to develop technologies with our couriers now that'll actually allow people to track their delivery, because people are outside of
in the
office.
Same way as an Uber comes toward
exactly.
Your Uber Eats, you can track the pizza. It's getting colder every second. The raw ingredients, you can track them on their way to you as well. And you think of the bok choy wilting.
Exactly that. So we actually, okay. We're looking to have a box tracking system in place come the end of the year. And, cool. You know, I can't say it's been completely easy because there is always frustration. You know, there are always a few boxes whereby, you know, it's been sitting at reception and the person wasn't alerted because there wasn't the appropriate kind of notifications in place. But it's generally speaking been pretty good.
Okay, so Rob Love tells us he's making the Ucook ostrich and beetroot fritters while listening to the show. So Rob Love is a devotee. David Torr is my guest this evening, the co-founder of a business called Ucook. I want to find out who Claudia Wixelbaumer is. Sounds intriguing. That's coming up in a moment.
The Money Show. Shapeshifters.
David Torr is the co-founder of Ucook. He is in business with a guy called Christopher Verstaer-Cohen. That's an unusual name.
Yeah.
And then Claudia Wixelbaumer.
Yes.
Who is Claudia Wixelbaumer?
So Claudia was actually our kind of original angel investor. I think she probably signed up for slightly more than she kind of initially assumed because she came on right in the beginning when we were operating out of a small double garage in Newlands, VC's mother's house. Because that's VC being Chris Verstaer-Cohen.
Yeah.
And she's kind of been, I suppose, the kind of third unofficial founder, really. She's been part of the Ucook team right from the beginning and, has kind of given us that, I suppose she's largely responsible for the brand aesthetic. She's the head of food currently. So she's got a background from Silwood and, has been an integral part of our whole kind of growth process, really.
How did you all meet up? Because I love these stories about how like-minded individuals find each other. And you are doing something completely different. Chris VC, as you call him,
yes.
is an architect or training to be an architect. And Claudia's just got a bit of cash and is willing to invest with you.
So I suppose after, my kind of failed attempts at entering the advertising industry, I came to kind of terms with the fact that I was probably going to have to kind of get something going myself, pretty quickly, because I'd, taken a long kind of period of gap year and I'd traveled a bit. And actually in my, I was, working abroad and I actually met VC whilst on holiday in Thailand and managed to convince him over, good few changs that this, model that I'd experienced in Europe was probably had, quite an interesting place, in South Africa. Like I said, at the time he was studying architecture and I've always been quite surprised by the fact that he was willing to kind of let it all go and jump on into the garage in Newlands and, see if it all worked. I mean, the first delivery we made, which he was very kind of handsome blonde delivery boy, we delivered with no recipe cards. So we actually went from 21 orders day one to zero in week two.
Didn't get the repeat business.
No. We did.
So what was the original thinking just deliver ingredients and people work it out for themselves?
No, it most certainly wasn't.
Okay.
That was a massive kind of oversight on our part.
Oh.
but I mean, it was a massive learning curve. Luckily, we hadn't have a site at that present moment in time. We just had a Facebook page. And we really, really for a long period in time, for the better part of a year, just trialed the concept very much MVP before we actually took on money.
Okay, so your first week was great. You did 26 orders. Second week, you did not one order.
That's
and
correct.
At what point did you think to yourself, this was possibly the worst idea we've ever had?
Bruce, there's probably been about 15 or 16 or maybe 20 times that I've come to that conclusion. Mm. We've deleted the entire website before.
Not on purpose, I take it.
No, not on purpose. We've grown. In fact, right now we're in a period right now whereby we've grown to the extent that we've completely exceeded our warehouse capacity. So
how many meals are you then delivering? I'm assuming it's still just in Cape Town.
No, it's international. National. It's national. We're in Joburg, we're in Durban, we're in PE, we're in Cape Town, and we're shortly actually to expand completely nationally.
Okay, so I mean, how many meals a day a week are you delivering that?
So we're doing about 50,000 meals a month now.
50,000 meals a month.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That is about 1,200 a day.
It's a lot. It's a lot more than we
across five cities. Yeah. When I look at it that way, when I look at 1,200 meals a day across five cities, suddenly it feels quite thin on the ground. I mean, are you, have you got enough? Are you profitable? Have you got enough volume going through?
So remember, we actually only do one delivery a week. So that's the big one. I mean, in honesty, obviously, logistical expense by far, you know, looking at our balance sheet, is still definitely the most impactful, and it's something that we're attempting to kind of slim down by opening up fulfillment centers in those hubs. But we do one day's delivery, and it also means, you know, we've only got one day. We've got about 3 days of production, one day delivery, and the most beautiful thing about the kind of UCOOK model is you know, there's no stock retention. We are placing our orders based on the fact that we receive orders on a Wednesday, they're only then delivered the following Monday. So we're only purchasing goods that we actually know, you know, there's orders for.
You would save a lot of money if your customers collected the food. I mean, when you look at something like ShopRite, for example, increasingly taking on the likes of Woolies, it wants to get into the luxury meal space. What happens if you deposited 100 ready meals or baskets of meals for a week at a ShopRite on a Monday morning and let your customers buy them at their convenience from a ShopRite, for argument's sake? I mean, there's a model there.
It's a brilliant idea. It's actually what the kind of, you know, global giants like Hello Fresh and Blue Apron are currently doing. So
they are entering into partnerships. I mean,
100%.
Have you discussed it with the big retailers?
So we haven't, in honesty. I mean, we've been very, very much kind of just focused on keeping this kind of ship afloat. I mean, to give you an understanding, you know, we were delivering 50, you know, 50 boxes before we took on investment, and that was, you know, one year, 8 months. So, you know, growth's really, really supernatural. You know, we never really expected things to kind of explode this fast. So we've really just been focusing on attempting to get our operations, you know, kind of correct and making sure that we don't completely capitulate due to, you know, bursting growth, really.
Do you kind of know what works? I mean, you might have people who want lasagna once a week, and if you don't deliver them lasagna once a week, they get very grumpy. Because you deliver far more exotic fare and a huge amount of variety, and there's a very delicate balance between fish on Fridays every single week and making sure that there's sufficient variety to keep people coming back.
So it's very interesting. I think the, you know, the kind of key driving factor with regards to UCOOK when it comes to users is really about kind of keeping things exciting. I mean, we find just looking at our, you know, kind of user history that people are not ordering the food every week. They're ordering, you know, once a month because it's an experience that people tend to, you know, a large amount of it is actually about upskilling. They're learning how to cook new, interesting cuisines.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not necessarily something that people are buying into week in, week out.
A couple of comments. No way. $60 a head. Essentially a takeaway that you still need to make yourself. That's not the purpose, though, is it? I mean, I get where the logic comes from, but you're not competing on price. You're selling an experience and a meal.
So I think, you know, we're 100% selling an experience and a meal. And what we're also selling is, you know, we're getting people to kind of, you know, we're giving people access to a kind of lifestyle that, you know, a lot of people want to you know, kind of buy into. So, like I said, a huge part of our value proposition is about kind of ethical eating. We're rigorous when it comes to, you know, producer sourcing. We've all of our, you know, the majority of our veg is organic. All of our meat is grass-fed and kind of pasture-raised. And if you look at what you'd actually pay at a premium retailer for produce of that nature, you'd actually find that it's really quite cheap.
And then one final comment before I let you go, David Tor, the co-founder of UCOOK. Thank you for coming in. It comes from Penny in Edenvale, saying been using UCOOK for a while now. The quality of ingredients is outstanding. That's a good
test.
Always arrives in Joburg fresh. Tick. It would be great, however, if there was a process to recycle the packaging, the polystyrene, the ice pack, and the boxes.
Yes, that is a fantastic. So, again, it's something that is. So, we've currently got, and we've got different providers that essentially facilitate delivery for us in different environments. You can. So, Penny, we've actually got. Unfortunately, our delivery providers currently in Cape Town allow for a service whereby you can hand the box back.
Okay.
And I can promise you right now that within the next 2 months, we will be 100% making sure that we can actually do the same thing for that.
Good news. Well done, Penny. Penny will be happy. David Tor, the co-founder of UCOOK. Thanks for coming in.
Awesome. Thanks.